I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jordan's an NFL insider for The Score. We've known him nationally for years now, so good to talk to you, Jordan. How are you?
I do well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, we're glad to have you on. Look, let's start off with the Browns. Rough loss. It's been a rough 2 days here, two and a half days in Cleveland, because you know you're looking at that game against the Falcons and you're just like, oh, how do they not get a win? I don't know, your thoughts on the Browns?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that surprised me 2 weeks ago on the Thursday night game against Pittsburgh was just how well Jacoby played. I thought he was decisive. I liked a lot of the pre-snap stuff they did. And I think, you know, Atlanta's defense might be a little bit better than they've been given credit for. On the flip side, Mariota's been really bad. And to lose a game where your quarterback, where the opposing quarterback goes 7-19, I'm looking at it now, 139 yards. One was a 42-yard busted play. You just can't do that. And I know that, you know, Jacoby's not exactly, you know, the long-term solution here. But as well as he played against Pittsburgh, I was disappointed to see the Atlanta game, and go back to that fourth and goal play where he essentially throws it away. I thought maybe he had Nick in the end zone. Regardless, you know, it's too often in the NFL, we've known this, you guys have known this, fans know this, it comes down to a few plays, especially in the red zone. And if you don't make them, you're not going to win. And it's as simple as that. And I know this schedule is really, really tough moving forward. That was a tough loss. I mean, obviously I picked Cleveland in that game. I think most people did. And I thought the defense did a lot of really nice things. And, you know, it's one of those where you really can't have it linger, because it feels like more than a loss. It feels like worse than just a normal loss.
Jordan, with that thought in mind, we're wondering here, okay, is the team, the Browns, just this close to figuring things out? Or is it, and this is so discombobulated, this isn't going to work?
I'm curious, what's the thought of fans? Are they latter or the former? I'm just curious.
I think it's the latter. More so, I think fans are a little discouraged more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I know they've, that's fair. I kind of want to give them the benefit of the doubt, just because I do like Stefanski. I like what they've been able to do defensively. I feel like, you know, there's some really nice things there. And, you know, if you would have gone into the season and told Browns fans that, you know, they would have lost to Atlanta and lost to the Jets, they probably would have said that's a disaster. But it hasn't been. You know, they probably should have had a couple more wins. They've been great on fourth down. I mentioned Brissett having made some nice throws. You know, if I'm a Browns fan, I feel like from an offensive standpoint, at least, there's just more we can be doing. If we have, to me, the best 1-2 punch in the league, the best running back in the league in Nick Chubb, and a tight end who I would love to see maximize more. I mean, I know Njoku is up and down, but, you know, again, going back to that Thursday night game against Pittsburgh where it seemed like he was unstoppable, especially in the middle of the field, I just would love to see them maximizing these great players more. And I feel like that's why I feel like they're almost on the cusp of it, because granted, I didn't watch all the Atlanta game, but if you go back and you watch enough of this team, there's so many good things that you see that you just feel like we could parlay that into a little bit more, probably have at least one or two more wins. So I guess I'm a little more optimistic than most.
Jordan, your pinned tweet on your Twitter, who are four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Amari Cooper's top five route runners right now? Is he one of yours? And man, I love seeing him when he's hot, and I wonder what happens when he's not. Is it defensive scheme? Is it the Browns offense? What's going on? Because he's had two terrific games, One where he had some pass interference penalties where he might have had a bigger game that game against Carolina, and then really just didn't have much of an influence on the last game.
Yeah, he was awesome against Pittsburgh. We did that interview after that game, which is, it's always good to have an interview after a big game and a big win. To me, he absolutely is. And when I asked him that question, his answer, you know, he wasn't including himself regardless. So his answer was, I think he had Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, who's not playing, Hunter Renfrow, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. So, you know, he had some really great players in there and awesome route runners. I would think that not only is he one of the best two or three route runners in the league, but to me, you know, Amari Cooper going all the way back to Dallas, the Raiders, Alabama, he's always been, you know, considered an elite guy. Like, he was a top recruit. He goes to Bama. You know, if I think about, again, this goes back to maximizing players, where he's best served, he's always been awesome on third down. And he's one of the few receivers in the league, or one of the rare receivers, I should say, that can play three different receiver spots. And he's always been the guy that in the red zone has been terrific. And I just don't feel like you're asserting to get him the ball enough. You know, you go back to the Atlanta game, you know, I know that obviously AJ Terrell is fantastic, but the bottom line is, when you have great players, Chubb, Cooper, Hunt, you have to be forceful in terms of getting them the ball. And you're somewhat limited when you don't have what's ultimately going to be your starting quarterback, but you still need to take those chances because those are prime time players. And I go back to what Jerry Jones said. He said, you know, Amari was a great player. We were just paying him too much. You know, the Browns got him basically at a discount. I mean, I thought that was an incredible trade for them. I just want to see him get more opportunities because I think he'll have more success, as will the team.
I agree with you. You've got to get him the football. And I don't care how you do it. He's your best wide receiver, and there's not even anybody who's a close second. So you've got to get him the ball.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, he has his 5,000-yard seasons in his first 7 years. He's been a Pro Bowler four times, so he has these accolades. But when you force-feed someone like Amari Cooper, that opens up opportunities for David Bell. You know, that opens up opportunities for DPJ because ultimately great players are going to make plays that a lot of other guys just won't, those 50-50 balls we talk about. So to me, to your point, it's about force-feeding him even when it seems like, I don't know if this is the right thing. It oftentimes is when it's a great player.
You know, Jordan, I'm looking at the Browns' percentages right now. They're running the ball 48.3%, which I thought would have been near the top. But I knew the Eagles were running the ball, too. I didn't realize the Eagles are just crushing it as far as running the ball at 52.7, and they only pass 47.3. So I'm just wondering, is that can a head coach feel comfortable knowing that he can run the ball and win, and are the Eagles, like, setting the stage for that? Because I think Browns fans are hoping or wishing that if the Browns were at 52 or 51%, they may have won those two games they lost.
Absolutely. And I go back to the Jets game as, to me, that was okay. It was a loss, but you dominated the game. You had the 13-point lead with a few minutes left. They basically won that game in terms of their performance for 59 minutes. So the reason they were able to, quote, win that game or dominate that game, I should say, is because they were able to run the ball. They were unstoppable. Chubb was sensational. And, you know, like, listen, if you're gonna play this style of football, which is, you know, you're telling Jacoby, don't turn the ball over, the defense to make enough plays, Chubb and Hunt to control the line of scrimmage, then you better actually commit to it. That's the thing. Like, and this goes back to the Pittsburgh game when they had a lot of the play action stuff working and they were creative. That to me is the perfect brand of football, at least until Deshaun comes back in Week 13, because you have. You're set up right now to actually win this style. And there's too many times when, if I'm a Browns fan, I feel like we're right on the cusp of it and then we deviate. And so to me, it's about, like, I think that number should be in the mid-50s. You know, I mean, if you watch the Eagles play, it's shocking how much they run the ball. And obviously they have a guy that's much more creative with his legs and Hurts than Jacoby. But Jacoby can still move a little bit. You still have somewhat of a threat of a read option. So I would love to see them running the ball more and get that number up even more. Because to me, that then opens up again, for play action with Cooper, who I didn't even realize that he was the first guy in 9 years to have a 100-yard receiving in two straight games. I mean, there's no reason why he can't do that more, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be running the ball more when you have this dominant 1-2 punch.
Jordan Schultz joining us, NFL insider for The Score. You look around the league, and some strange things have happened with certain teams, certain players. The Eagles are on fire. The Dolphins have looked good. There's the Tua situation. Is there any team outside of say, the guys that we'd all expect to be up top, the Chiefs, the Bills?
Jacksonville.
And Jacksonville's the team for you?
Yeah, I mean, I know they lost the tough game to Philly where they blew a 14-point lead, but they're 2-2. They're tied for first in the AFC South. And it really comes back to, well, first of all, the defense has been really good for the most part. And offensively, the jump that Trevor Lawrence has made has been, I mean, nothing short of sensational. And I know Urban Meyer's an Ohio guy, but to go from him to Doug Peterson, I asked around the league on this, you know, what's been the biggest difference? And one of the things I heard was just from a confidence standpoint and the opportunity for Trevor Lawrence to be creative again like he was at Clemson, that's been the biggest difference. He has 8 touchdowns in 4 games. He had 12 all of last season. He's only thrown, you know, two interceptions. He had 17 last year, which tied Matt Stafford. You could really pull up any number you want, fellas. Passer rating, QBR, it's all skyrocketed. And more importantly, on third down, he's been awesome. And then also they have the James Robinson effect. You know, here's a guy who's off a torn Achilles. They have Travis Etienne coming back from injury. Meanwhile, Robinson's been a top 5 running back in pretty much every category. So to me, if I look at all the teams and the surprises, I'm probably most impressed with Jacksonville. You know, maybe they're not 4-0 or 3-1, but 2-2 with that team, with that young quarterback, is pretty cool. And I'm really excited about that team as a whole.
Yeah, we'll take Peterson as Ohioan since he played for the Browns as one of the 17.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's been the most – to have him there and the amount of confidence that he's given Trevor. They obviously go out and get Christian Kirk. He's been really good. People said maybe they overpaid him. But, you know, you cannot put a premium on a #1 receiver, and he's been just that for that offense. So the Jags for sure.
Yeah, Jordan, I've only got about a minute. I'm just curious what's going to happen with concussion protocol since Tua and last week and what we saw and – how this thing might change in the future.
Well, I've asked a couple players about this, including Kyle Allen, the backup quarterback on the Texans, just to get a quarterback's perspective. And one of the things that he said, and I'll try to be quick, was, you know, it's really hard to fake your way through a concussion test. And that surprised me because I thought if Tua really, really wanted to play, which he did against Cincinnati off the short week 4 days later, that he could just say, I'm fine, I don't have headaches. But Kyle was saying it's actually really hard to do that, especially when you're dealing with a concussion. So ultimately, the league, to me, needs to protect the players from themselves. There needs to be a much stiffer protocol, particularly when you're talking about 2 potential head injuries in 4 days. Now, I know the Dolphins said he didn't have a head injury. It was shoulder and back, whatever. Bottom line, you watch that hit in week 4 or week 3, it looked really bad. He should not have been playing against Cincinnati. The league needs to do a much better job in the situation, and I think they will.
Jordan, outstanding stuff. Looking for your stuff with The Score, NFL Insider for The Score, and hopefully we'll have you back on sometime soon. Love the conversation. Appreciate you.
Anytime, guys. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. Jordan, of course, was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He said something interesting.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.